Welcome to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located across from the Turchin Center. 265-1886, Brandon, Chris, Blake, Justin, bringing you some NBA action. Now, we just talked to NFL, got to switch gears into NBA, and right now the Bobcats just floating around, kind of just sitting there, you know, 7th, 8th seed.
Well, look, I'm telling you, this guard thing is a serious situation. People don't want to recognize it, but I'm telling you, we saw against the Clippers the other night, they can't score. And what happens when you have... When your best scorer, Steven Jackson, does absolutely nothing. He didn't make a field goal the entire game.
And remember I said the other day, what happens when one of those guys goes down? I was like, Steven Jackson hasn't had a bad game yet. When he has a bad game, what's going to happen to this team?
And that's why I don't like that Tyrus Thomas trade in terms of how it changes the rest of the team, because they needed to do it. They had no depth whatsoever due to injury, so you had to make a trade. You had to make something happen. But at the same time, now your only consistent scorer and your only guy you knew would give you points in a pinch, and Flip Murray is gone. First of all, he went to in Chicago the other night. He had probably the sickest dunk I've ever seen in my life.
He had a nasty dunk.
So that's apart from everything. But he's the guy you knew you could depend on. If you're Larry Brown, you look to the bench, you saw Raymond Felton wasn't cutting it, or you saw Gerald Wallace wasn't having a good night putting the ball in the basket, you could say, look, I know that guy's going to give me 10 points off the bench. I know he's going to give me 12 points off the bench. You don't have that anymore. DJ Augustine is such a question mark, and we've seen this team now lose 3 out of 4. The one win was against Cleveland. Great win. I love that win.
Then they come back and lose against New Jersey.
You'd be lying if you said you weren't worried a little bit, because I think there's some real problems that are starting to show themselves, and I'm telling you, the guard situation is a problem. They're trying to maybe address it. Larry Hughes is out on the open market.
Which would be an interesting. I mean, he's a good scorer.
He's got a history with Larry Brown in Philly. The thing is, the Bobcats, the reason they got rid of some of these players, oddly enough, is that they don't have the money. And they weren't planning on paying Theo Ratliff until the trade deadline. So they have more contracts now than they initially planned. For a team that's losing tens of millions of dollars, it might not sound like a lot, but over $500,000 is a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, but you got to think, maybe they make that one move just to try to make it a league minimum, something like that. Larry Hughes wants it. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if they will, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they will, but there are rumors out there. And you know what? Some of those rumors with Charlotte, usually you don't hear a lot of rumors. It's not like Cleveland. It's not L.A. It's not Boston.
Outside the Allen Iverson rumor.
If rumors skip out, then sometimes you got to kind of cling to some of those. Obviously, you can't hold it as substance, complete substance, but either way, you would love to have that, because Larry Hughes is a scorer. He's a guard. He can play the point guard position. He's better at the two, but either way, he's exactly what you need. I think he would come in at the league minimum if Charlotte's willing to do that. They have an open spot there on the roster, and you know what? He wants a lot of minutes, and I think in this system, he could get a lot of minutes. He could get a lot of looks, and really, he could be a very big asset. And if they add him now, if they add him quickly, I think it's before March 1st or something like that. Then since he's already been waived, he makes the playoff roster. If the Bobcats are able to make the playoffs, that would be huge. That would be a huge push, and I think that could propel Charlotte out of mediocrity and sticking to barely clinging to the 7th or 8th seed, and maybe move up to 6th seed. Maybe up to 5th seed.
I don't think they have a chance of making anything above the 7th seed now. I think honestly, their only hope is to cling to.
I think they're two games out of the 6th seed right now, so it's not despair.
No,
but they need a winning streak.
They're on a downward track, and look, even if you get Tyson Chandler back, he's not going to give you any offense. He hasn't given you any offense all season long,
and you can't expect that.
You can only have so many defenders on your court at the same time, and I that's why I just don't understand the trade for the Bobcats. I understand the need you had there, but at the same time, you can only have so many good defenders. You can only play great.
And I wonder what Larry Brown's strategy is. I know he wants a good defense. Defense, it's old cliche.
You just can't
wins
stop
championships.
Everybody.
But yeah, you can't stop everybody. First of all, and you got to be able to score. I mean, you can have 5 guys that can hold a team to 60 points, but if you score 2, you're not going to win games. It's going to look ugly out there.
No, I agree. That's why these trades, you know, I think a lot of people in Charlotte who've been following the Bobcats have been so, you know, down and so poisoned with the water that they've been serving in terms of this team's been so bad for so long. So when they see any hint of talent or any hint of success, they immediately buy into it and say, oh man, this is a great team, or this is a great trade. I got to be honest with you, a lot of the trades the Bobcats have made haven't been great ones. And even you look at, they've just been trading pieces, and they get this piece and they trade it for that piece. And even the Boris Diaw trade with Rajah Bell that they threw in for Jason Richardson, I'm sorry, the Bobcats wouldn't be in the position they're in now if they had Jason Richardson as a scorer. So, I mean, the thing is, the Bobcats can't win on every trade, but people are always drinking the Kool-Aid saying, oh, the Bobcats got the better end of that trade. I'm sorry, this Tyrus Thomas trade, they didn't, and I think it's really going
to
hurt them.
Yeah, they had to draft.
Don't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. I'm serious. I would not be shocked if they finish in 9th or 10th again. They need some serious scoring.
I think they will, but I think they're going to definitely need some help. If they can get Larry Hughes, then I think they make the playoffs. But that's a big if.
I mean, they don't sign him. I think he's a good fit for him. I think money-wise, I still think
they can do it, but they've got to get a winning streak of some sort, some substance there to say, okay, we've got the confidence, we can score. Really, what they need is momentum on their side. They've never been a great scoring team, always been better defensively, but if they can get momentum going on their side, I think confidence is the biggest boost to a young team, which is what this team is, and maybe they can get something going. Because, I mean, Steven Jackson's not going to have a bad night every night, but when he does, you got to have somebody that can step up. Yeah. Gerald Wallace can only do so much.
Yeah, and the thing is, these guys are playing so many minutes in multiple positions because they're so thin.
They're going to be worn out.
Yeah, they are worn out, and so it's going to be interesting to watch going forward. I said we were going to talk about the NBA lockout situation. We don't have time for that. We'll talk about that Monday. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Some serious numbers being thrown around that I had no idea about. Upwards of almost $500 million being lost by the NBA alone this year. It's a serious situation. We'll talk
Bobcats,
about
one of the big teams losing money.
We'll talk about the underpinnings of that and how that affects a team like the Bobcats, because a team that's being sold and how their players are assembled on the court. We'll talk about that on Monday. I think it's a big deal. It'll be interesting for a lot of people. You know what? We haven't done it in almost 3 weeks because we've been off air. We normally like to do it on Wednesday. It's time for the Say What Countdown. Kazepis, let's go this.
Sports are a very serious matter.
Say what?
Here's the top three sports broadcasting cups of the week. Did I just mess up? Okay, make it four. Number three.
All right, here we go. Number three on this one. I don't know if you watched Tiger's press conference the other day. It was emotional. There were a lot of feelings were stirred up in me. If you were watching the Golf Network, which I'm sure most of you weren't, you're probably watching ESPN or some other CNN, a news network like that. But if you're watching the Golf Network, one of their analysts got a little teary-eyed. Let's roll with this. This is what happened after he saw Tiger's apology.
Stay that way.
Well, my impression is we saw a very genuine and authentic Tiger Woods. I mean, obviously this was very, very painful for him to do, but to walk in that room and have his mom stand 15 feet in front of him, very, very painful.
Hurts.
To watch.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Charlie. Watching you watch this, why so much emotion from you in watching Tiger speak?
It hurts.
It hurts.
Watching a man hurt like that.
15 yards away.
Cry on national television, hugging his mom. Unbelievable.
Oh, how did he lose it?
The funny thing is, he doesn't even know Tiger Woods.
Yeah, is that his caddy or something? That's his best bud or something?
Steve Williams over there. Yeah, seriously. I mean, I watched it. I felt sorry for Tiger. I thought he was remorseful. But I didn't get emotional. I didn't get teary eyed. I don't cry. I cry over a lot of things. I don't cry over that.
I think the guy that was interviewing him too was kind of. I mean, you could tell by the question.
Why I put the question.
Why so
in
emotional? Are you being a little girl and crying? Are you doing this?
I don't mean to slap you across the face right now, but why on earth are you crying after watching that?
Do you want some Kleenex there?
There was an analyst for ESPN, a woman that came on and said that. She didn't think there was any emotion from Tiger because she was watching his forehead the entire time. She said that's where everybody shows their emotion through. So she was not.
There was no emotion because that guy sopped it up all himself. He's like a mop. He's crying
over
there.
Took all the tears away.
Unbelievable. Number two right here. This one, last night, I don't know if you caught it, 11 p.m. SportsCenter, a little prank call action on Scott Van Pelt. Let's roll it, Kazepis.
Number two.
We have the chance to talk to Brian Westbrook as well. He joins us now live here on SportsCenter. And, Brian, we appreciate the time at this late hour. There's a saying that it's not personal, it's business. When it happens to you, does it feel personal?
No. Well, how you doing, Scott?
I'm very well, thank you.
How you doing, Scott?
Oh, you know, I love Philadelphia. I love being part of this football organization. I'm going to miss being here. As you know, I've been here for many years, and I've made many friends off and on the field. I have nothing but respect for head coach Andy Reid, and I look forward to a future of worshiping the prostate of Howard Stern.
Oh,
unbelievable. That just happened. Scott Van Pelt getting owned. And, you know, oddly,
such a nice guy too.
Oddly enough, this happened to him once before. He was on the Golf Network, Howard Stern got him a second time
with
that.
That's what he was saying today. How many people have the opportunity to get prank called twice by Howard Stern?
I think he had some extra comments. Kazepis, you got him. Play it real quick.
Boy, we got that, huh?
Speechless.
You can see.
So that worked out well.
You can see him right as it panned away. Also, he said, Hi, YouTube.
Yeah, he said he was. He actually released some comments that he said he was kind of upset because that was his way of getting back. That was his way of embracing the situation. Number one, this is a situation all of us in this room can embrace because we're students first, and we're future broadcasters, hopefully, if we play our cards right. And we've had times where we haven't been great on air. There's a particular student at Kent State. They were doing their broadcast for their Kent State basketball game against Buffalo.
Amateur, to say the least.
Amateur hour, indeed. Roll it, Kazepis.
Number one.
All right, let's go send it over now to the third member of our broadcast team, John Jankowski. John, take it away, brother.
Buffalo has yet to make a basket outside the paint. They've only scored points off inside the paint points or on the foul line. They are the best three-point shooting team in the MAC, and they've yet to make a point in the hoop. A three-point shot.
A three-point shot.
In the hoop. A point.
All right. Thank you, John. All right, folks. Going to send it over to third member of our broadcast team, John Jankowski. John, what do you got for us?
Right now, Kent is running a simple play. The guards will pass it to one of the big men on the top at the elbows, and then the big man will either throw it in the corner to a three-point shot, or another big man will come baseline and drive to the hoop, and the four will pass it to the guy running baseline.
At least one out of the five players will try to score.
Kent has run four times so far.
All right, that's it. Yeah, they will touch the ball and
he's
the
gonna,
ball, and they will get it to the elbow,
give it to the other guy
in the corner,
shoot it,
and a big man will pass it to a little man.
Boom goes the dynamite.
It's only funny to us because we've been there. I can empathize. Yeah. I've been there. I know what it's like, so I feel sorry for the kid.
Maybe guys, one day we will play that whole series of clips of Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Yeah, I wanted to finish with Boom Goes the Dynamite, but we've all seen that. It's almost cliche at this point. We're out of time. If you can't get enough of our loud mouths, check us out between shows on Facebook and Twitter. You can head on over to WASURocks.com/sportsoutthewazoo to get connected there. If you miss an episode, we podcast. Be sure to get updated by catching our podcast in iTunes, keyword Sports Out the Wazoo. For Justin, Blake, Brandon, and myself, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys on the other side on Monday. Feel my